Zetro, talk about the new band that you're in, Hatriot, and what do you guys currently have going on right now? Maybe give us some insight on the band and what's currently going on with you.
Well, we just put the record out, Heroes of Origin. It's been out, it was released February 12th, and so it's actually been kicking ass everywhere on Amazon and the stores. It's doing real good, so the fans are, you know, eating it up really well. We're just waiting to get on a tour and get out in the world. But in the meantime, we're actually writing the second record right now, so we're staying busy. We're all getting together twice a week, getting very busy, so it's just kind of full-on metal like I was back in the day, like you were talking about, man. I'm full-on back into this again.
Well, I think it's really awesome, Zetro, because, you know, I was reading the lyrics to this album, and, you know, a lot of metal bands are writing about a lot of these things that go on. And the thing that's kind of crazy is you guys always did this. I mean, you always did this with Exodus, even, you know, songs like Chemical, for example, or, you know, like Father Like Son and stuff like that. You've always written lyrics about current happenings and problems in society. And, you know, Zetro, I have to ask you, you know, what inspires you to write these things? I mean, why do you write lyrics like this?
I think I've always tried to stay current, and even with Exodus, when we wrote our lyrics, and I think that it was just something that I've always, you know, this has always been. Now, this is my band where I control pretty much the musical direction and everything, and the lyrical content especially. And so I like to have fun stuff on there. I mean, The Violent Times of My Dark Passenger, I mean, that's about Dexter, you know, and Shadows of the Buried, it's about vampires and my love for dark shadows and that kind of thing. But then again, like you said, there's serious stuff on here. Weapons of Class Destruction, Globicidal, Suicide Run, those are all things that are society's issues and things that go on, you know, things that I think. I got another one for the next record called From My Cold Dead Hands, which is obviously about, you know, the gun issues and stuff that's come up just recently. So I'm trying to keep it very fresh and very current and, you know, definitely with the times.
Well, they say when you're a singer that you know, they say write about what you know. And you know, this is something you've always done, like you just talked about, where, you know, you write some of these songs like Chemical from, you know, The Pleasures of the Flesh or, you know, Impact is Imminent, you know, songs like this that are current problems. And Zetro, you know, I have to ask you, is this a passion of you to write about these types of things? I mean, what inspires you to really go out and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to write about a current event, or I'm going to write about stuff that kids can relate to and society relates to? You know, why do you write lyrics like this? And, you know, what inspires you to do it?
That's basically how I take it, you know. If I feel that something's that's intriguing enough to me that I feel that I need to write something about it, I will, you know. So I just feel that there's certain issues and certain things that I feel that I need to tackle and go after, you know. It's not like, it's like something will sting me and I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to write something about that. Like the whole idea of that song that I was talking about for the second record is our marketing guy from Skateboard Marketing, Munzee, he said, oh, then I couldn't get back to you earlier. I was at a gun rally at the, you know, we were all having this rally, I guess, out at, you know, marching out at, I don't know where he was, out in Washington or something like that. And I was like, you know, against, you know, what they're trying to do with the ammunition and all that kind of stuff. And it just gave me an inspiration for writing songs. I'm all about freedom and our liberties, and any time those go to be taken away, regardless, because I'm not a hunter. I don't own a gun. You know, and I don't have things like that, but, you know, it's just nothing that's ever intrigued me, but I'm not against the people that do. And those guys like Ted Dickens that are, you know, model hunters and follow the rules and the laws, and they've been hunters their whole lives. Why should they have to pay for idiots? You know what I mean? So I think it's not, I think it's something to write about. It's social things that I like to keep. I like to keep it fun, too. Also, you know, obviously, you know, some of the lyrics that you read them, they're kind of violently funny, you know, but I'm always intrigued by things that are going on socially.
Well, Zetro, I've been listening to this music for a very long time now, and, you know, every phase of heavy metal has its own pioneers. Like, for example, you had your pioneers like Black Sabbath and Deep Purple and AC/DC, and then you go to, like, the new wave of British heavy metal, such as Iron Maiden. You know, bands like Iron Maiden, and he had kind of Judas Priest lumped in there, Saxon. But then, in the early 80s, the Bay Area thrash scene came out, which is something that you were a very, very big part of. And, The thing about that is that totally revolutionized heavy metal just as much as many of these other bands did. And, you know, that scene was pretty crazy, and people don't realize just how awesome it was back then. And you know, give me some insight. I'd like to get some insight on what it was like for you coming through that scene, what it was like playing in the San Francisco Bay Area thrash scene, where you guys were just doing something brand new.
Well, that was like special, and we didn't realize it at the time. I mean, I think that we just took it like that. Every city had their own little scene like that, you know, and it just wasn't like that. And as some of us started to do albums and get out and tour, we found out that it wasn't, and we knew how special we did have it then. Man, you'd walk into Ruthie's Inn on a Friday night, and I'll give you an example. You were going to see Possessed and Death Angel and Mordred and Blind Delusion. I'll give you that. And that's a four-band bill at Ruthie's on a Friday night. You walk through the front door, and you'd look to the right at the bar, and there'd be Kirk and James sitting with Gary and Rick or Tom. You know, it'd be all the guys from every band, Violence, all the guys from Forbidden, just everybody hanging around together, a lot of the guys from Laws Rocket at the scene. And then you knew after the gig, somebody at somebody's pad was going to go throw a ripping party. And I remember spending many nights at the Metallica house at El Sobrani after shows till, damn, 10 in the morning the next day till the sun was coming up at the Metalla house, you know, having parties after gigs and partying after gigs. That's what we did, and just that was the scene, and that's how we handled it. I remember the first time the Slayer guys came up and they played. I remember they hung out and came to parties after, and they were just enamored with the scene that it was up there, because, I mean, basically there was Dark Angel and there was a Megadeth, and there was those guys. There wasn't too many really thrash bands. Hyrax from L.A., you know. So when they came up here, it was like a plethora of great thrash bands. I mean, you could talk 13, 14 deep, you know, of good thrash bands. So it was just a time that was just really cool. Nothing like it is now. Nothing. It's nothing like that now. There's not really a scene at all here in the Bay Area. There's just still the small contingency of us that the older ones that still carry it, and if there's something we're seeing, they come out of the woodwork for it. But then it was, you go to a gig on Tuesday, Wednesday night, Thursday night shows, Sunday afternoon shows, and they're packed, they're jammed. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there, so it's a little different.
You know, it's great though, man, because over the last 5 or 6 years, you've seen a resurgence of bands come out. Like Forbidden's put out a new album. You had Death Angel's been popping out some albums, Exodus, Testament. A lot of these bands have started putting records out again. Heathen's another one. And, you know, what do you think inspired this? Why do you think everybody decided, you know what, let's all come out, let's start making records again?
I think everybody looked each other in the face and said, you know what, we started something. There wouldn't have been black metal or death metal or all that other kind of metal if there wasn't thrash metal. And there wouldn't have been thrash metal if there wasn't punk and new wave of British metal put together, you know what I mean? And there's all that elements that make those things, and I think that the crowds that listened to us in the 80s, like yourself, in the early 90s, and that loved this music, when it was completely wiped away for so many years, you know, I think that once it came back, as little, everyone started coming back in little increments, like an Exodus came back, and then Testament came back, and then Forbidden came back, and then Death Angel came back, and then everybody started going, oh, well, these guys are doing it, we can, and then the crowds are coming back in droves. So I remember, I think 2003, I remember reading Megadeth called it quick, and Dave sold all the banners and all the backdrops and all that, and he didn't want to do it anymore. Look at Megadeth, they're doing better than they've ever done. So I just think that the time has come back around again, and that people love metal so much, and they'll never throw it away. Mm-hmm. This isn't a fad. This is a music that people just take and throw it away once they get it. You know, it's they love it. Nobody's ever come up to you and going, oh, yeah, I listened to Slayer for like one summer. You know, you've never heard that before. You know, that doesn't exist. You know, it's what we do. It's what we are forever. You know, and that's what makes it so great. You know, our fans can, I'm almost 30 years in this business, and I'm still relevant because my fans will still listen to what I play, you know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome. That is the greatest feeling ever, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. I remember back in 2003 when you made your comeback and came back at Sang on Tempo of the Damned by Exodus. I thought the vocal performance was outstanding, and it was great to hear you guys putting out a record. And what was it like for you to come back after so long to jam with them again?
Well, I wish it would have been better at that time. I wasn't in the whole ride back from 2002 to 2004. I hated it. I have little kids. I had submerged myself into another lifestyle, working. I was making good money in construction. I went back to this, I wasn't making as near as money with the band. It was tougher to tour. I missed my kids. It was just like, I'm doing this because Paul passed, and I guess it was what I needed to do, and I wanted to be there, but it wasn't right for me. That's kind of why I just kind of had to step out in 04, but and terribly the way I did it, and I'm glad that Rob was there to pick up the pieces, regardless of people say who they prefer. I mean, Rob was there to pick them up, and they've continued, and now you have two great bands, and I'm back full-time. Instead of having to miss the kids, I got two of them in the band. So, it's just all about Atrium now and getting back on the road and getting back to doing records and doing what I've done, what I was made to do.
I was going to bring that up next. Both of your kids are in a band, and how did that come about?
They actually had to audition, both of them, for their parts. Cody's been in the band since the inception, but there was three other bass players that wanted his job. But he's a great player. He practices very hard. And Nicholas, my son, he's the newest member. He came in last summer. We had another drummer named Alex Bench. He's playing with, Decrepit Birth now and Archaic and every other band that he can play in. That's why he doesn't play with us anymore. We couldn't wait for him. He'd leave for 6 weeks and go, I'll be back in 6 weeks. And it's like, you're the drummer, dude. If you stop, we stop, So my other son says, I could do it. And I knew he could. He's been playing drums since he was 10. He's 19. I says, okay, your feet just have to be very fast. And damn, he came into the audition and he just nailed it. So we grilled him for a good month in rehearsals about getting this down, and he was nailed. He was nuts. Within 6 weeks of joining the band, he was recording his first record.
Yeah, I loved the album Dublin Death Patrol that you put out, where you and Chuck Billy were kind of trading off lines and stuff like that. And I know you got your own band right now, and I know he's obviously probably busy with Testament. But Steve, would you ever consider doing another record like that down the road? Say you and Chuck and a bunch of your friends, like another Dublin Death Patrol album.
Yeah, the thing with that is that he's busy with Testament, and I'm going to be busy with Hatriot. And I want to just concentrate on this from now on. You know what I mean? I don't want to stop with this. And with that, I would have to stop and put my mind into that and write music for that. And for now, Hatred's my band. I don't want this to seem like a project.
Yeah.
I want this to seem like my band. Like I said, we're already halfway writing the second record, which I plan to have out next January. So it'll be 12 months between records. Not too much time, wasting. So I'm not screwing around right now. I'm working really hard, and to immerse myself into another band would be impossible at this point.
How's the response to this new album been for you? How's it been received so far?
I haven't had a bad review yet. I've not seen one person say a bad thing about this album. It's what they expected from me. It's what they wanted. I think it's solid. I've said it from the beginning, 10 killers, no fillers. This album rips from top to bottom. I'm very proud of it. I think, honestly, it's one of the best, if not the best record I've ever recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I think every song is solid and very strong, and you usually get an album where you have maybe four or five good songs, and there's a couple of songs in there that are heavier or whatever, but the riffs, they're okay. I don't think so on Heroes of Origin. I think Heroes of Origin, every song is a killer song. And so I've seen reviews that have given it 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, 5 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5. It's all been very positive. It's sold really well. It's been out for 7 weeks, and I think it's done 10,000 units or something like that. That's not bad for a debut band on Massacre Records, It's not bad at all.
Well, my opinion is the fact that, a lot of you guys, some of these bands are putting out some of the best music that they've ever put out. A lot of your contemporaries, I got to give you all credit, because it seems that now these modern sounding albums, you guys are putting out new records. Most older bands put out new records. They're not very good, but you guys are putting out killer records. It's not just you. It's all the other thrash bands. And You know, they're almost like blind buys for me.
Yeah, I think that was the maturity level that we're getting here. You know, Tony, it's just like, you know, we're all mature guys. You know, we've been doing this for so long. We're not trying to milk the system. We play heavy metal because we love it, not because we make money off of it. That's for damn sure. You know what I mean? And so if we're going to do it, if I'm going to do it anyway, and all the projects I do, like you said, you like Dub and Death Patrol. I did a project a couple of years ago with the guys from Strapping and Glenn Alvalize called Tenet. I mean, that's an amazing record alone. So I have a, anything I do is heavy, and, you know, it's going to be very good. And I spend a lot of time, and I take very much pride in everything I do vocally and lyrically.
You know, being a singer myself, man, I could tell you, dude, I mean, your vocals are just spot on. I mean, you haven't lost it, man. I mean, you're just right on.
I feel I'm very much stronger. I turned 49 on Sunday, and I'm very strong vocally right now. I mean, really strong. So I'm singing like I am man-possessed, and I know it. I mean, people, I'm out three questions like, why are you so still pissed off? Aren't you almost 50? Isn't it time to slow down? It's like, no, man, I'm turning it up a notch.
Well, and the thing is, it's not even being pissed off. It's more of having a passion for doing it, in my opinion.
Well, exactly. Just, you know, I play and I've sung heavy metal for almost 30 years now. It's like, I know how to do it. I know what to do. This is heavy metal. There's nothing sweet about it. It's aggressive. It's aggression. It's angst. It's rebellion. It's all of those things, and it has to be presented that way. So when I come up and sing a vocal, I know every line, what it says and what it means. So I come off from that. I really do. I write it, so I know what it means.
You look at every band out there that has, you know, its own leader. You always look at a band and say, okay, you know, this guy calls the shots and he's the one that leads the direction of the band. But now it's you. It's your turn. You have your own band now. And, you know, you're the leader of this band. What's that like for you now?
It's like, you know, Nirvana, honestly, man. It's like, I know what I want. Honestly, I do. I know what I want. Musically, business-wise, I know what I want everything to be like, what it to look like, what it to sound like, everything. And so I don't need any other cooks. I'm good at it. And I'm just, you know, just let me drive the Cadillac and we'll be okay. And so far, everything I told the kids that would happen has happened to them. And they've just let me drive the Cadillac. There's no crap there, you know, and I know what to do, and I love that. And I could veto stuff if I don't like it. Stuff like ideas, like we just finished the second video for Angie Children to Be Damned, which is amazing. If you like Bloodstained Wings, you'll love this. We used like 40 gallons of blood, and three of the most beautiful actresses that you'll ever see and appeared in it. Oh, I swear to God. And we covered them in blood, and it was killer. And there's a couple of murders in it. You know, I'm not going to leave it too sweet there, but great video. And it's, and I, my, the video's all my idea and my, you know, my thing. So I'm very lucky to have that type of expression and be able to think of these cool things and see them materialize, you know.
Uh-huh.
I want it to be like this, and I want this chick to sit in a tub full of blood, and I want two chicks pouring blood in one thing and materialize, you know what I mean? So, you know, and I want the band completely covered in blood, so we were just soaked in blood during our performance, so it's kind of cool. It's really cool.
Well, I got to give it to you, man. Out of all these people I talk to and interview on my show, you're one of the most passionate people that I think I've interviewed on this show in a very long time.
Great. I'm glad. I hear that a lot, but it's true. I don't have any other hobbies, man. I don't have a boat. I don't ride motorcycles. I play heavy metal, and I'm constantly in my band business, and everything involves my band. It's just perfect. It's what my heart is, all I think about. You know what I mean? I have my sports teams, and I, of course, do that. I go to a movie or see a movie, whatever. But I do. This is what I do, man. This is my life, is my band, you know, and my life is music, you know. Like, we had to reschedule this interview. My daughter has to sing a solo tonight for the choir.
Yeah.
It was like right at 6 o'clock. I was like, oh, Daddy has to see these things, you know what I mean? She was like, so happy and so proud. I've got like 5 calls today. How excited she was. I go, look, I already got my bag full of tomatoes, eggs, and cabbage, so if you stink it up, I'm going to get the boys and we're going to be heave-hoeing you right on stage, so you better not stink it up. It's hella funny.
Well, you being one of my favorite thrash vocalists growing up, I have to say that I think it's outstanding to see that you're back, you're doing this again, you're full tilt into it, and you're going to be putting out records for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to hearing this stuff, man. And I for me, there's no other way to put it to you. You know what I'm saying?
There's no other way to put it, Tony. I'm kicking ass right now. I'm just out kicking ass. I'm playing the metal that I was put on this earth to play and invent, and that's what I'm going to do till the day I die. So that's what you're on out. From here on out, it's all about hatred, all about metal.
So have you tried to plan a tour yet? Are you going to do some touring? Are you going to be playing out pretty soon?
We just haven't really come our way. I mean, we're trying to secure a really good booking agent right now, so we haven't. We've had a couple of not so credible guys come at us, and we really don't want to do kind of. I know that people want to see us, and we want to be out there as well. But we've done everything right with this band, and why stop? Be trying to be cheesy now just to get out there and get 10 minutes or whatever. So we're working on that. Believe me, we are working on that. In the meantime, we're writing songs. If we're not going to be on the road, we're still working. We have practice in 3 hours. 3 hours tonight after the rehearsal. My daughter's recital. I've got to go to Hatred practice tonight. We've got 2 new songs we're putting together. So I've got 5 finished for the next record. So we're ready to go, man.
Well, for my last question for you, Zetro, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview?
In what area are we in there, Tony?
Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks. I've always loved Cleveland, the Agora Ballroom, all that kind of stuff. Great fans in Cleveland. The last time we were there in 2004 with Exodus, that was a great night. In fact, I think we ended up partying with the Slipknot Chimera, and because Chimera's from Cleveland, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we ended up partying with those guys that night because they were in town at the arena. It was like the same night. But I've always loved Cleveland, man. Great place, great rock and roll. Obviously, you put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there. You know, that says enough right there. And I appreciate all the metalheads who have supported me and every damn project I've put my face into. And all I can say is if you like the thrash metal that I've created over the last 28 years plus, you're just going to love everything I'm going to do with Hatred. If you like Heroes of Origin, you'll love the next record too. That's all I got to tell. It's rock and roll, baby.